Hello and welcome to Season 9, Episode 24 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this episode, we're going to interview the elementary team. We'll also have some command line love and we'll go over your feedback, of course. I'm Laura and joining me this week are Mark.
Hello.
Martin.
Hola.
And Alan.
Whatcha?
Hello. So Mark. Hello. Mark, what have you been up to since last time we saw you? We talked to you.
I have been practicing my ukulele.
Why have you been doing that?
Well, as you will have found out if you were at Talk Live.
Tiny whiny.
Go on, Mark.
I performed / will perform our theme tune live on the ukulele.
Is there a recording of this, or will there have been a recording
of
this?
There might well have been a recording of this.
Yeah, somebody asked about that, and I'm not certain. So there may have been, or it is a live exclusive only.
Yes, or it was terrible, and we don't want to...
Or there were technical difficulties, and it never happened.
It's an episode 30 again.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I thought your ukulele was very good on the night.
Yeah, best I've ever heard.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Best ukulele I've heard this year.
Yeah. Anyway, Martin, what have you been doing in the future past?
Goodness, this is complicated. I've been getting properly acquainted with my Entroware Athena laptop.
Is this the great big thing you lugged along to the sprint?
It is, yes. So you can give a visual representation. It's kind of a monolith, isn't it? It's a huge great thing of a laptop.
What size laptop is it?
It's a 15.6 inch screen, but it's just big in all proportions. It's big and black. It looks like it was designed to sort of dish out war and and things. But this is the
one you named.
This is the one I got to name, yes, but it's properly brilliant. So when I was on the sprint, I was using it to build lots of snaps inside LexD containers, and I was able to build about 7 or 8 at a time, which was really handy. And now it's home. I've plugged it in with my Steam controller, and I've been playing through my Steam library on it, and it does that very well indeed.
Has it got a proper GPU?
Yes, it's got an NVIDIA 980M.
Oh, good Lord. Suits you, sir.
Yeah. So consequently, I'm a very happy grid autosport player. Yes.
Jolly good. Right. We should get on with the show because we have an interview coming up in a moment.
So while I was at the Snappy Sprint, I bumped into a group of people from the elementary team, and I recorded an interview, and here it is.
Right, I'm in the elementary suite in the Heidelberg Hotel at the Snappy Sprint with the elementary team. So sitting with me are...
My name is Daniel Foray, and I'm the founder of elementary.
My name is Cody Garver. I'm the systems architect.
My name is Corentin Noel. I'm an elementary developer.
Okay, so elementary's an LLC now. So who of you here are part of elementary, the company, and elementary, the community?
I'm working full-time on elementary.
Okay.
And I'm Cody, and I'm also working full-time.
I'm Corentin, and I'm only here, I'm part of the community.
Right, okay. So there's been a lot of buzz on the forthcoming Loki release. I think the second beta is out.
Yeah, that's correct.
So how's it shaping up? What's the new feature that people can start to look forward to with Loki?
Oh, there's so many. This cycle alone, so far we've closed over 930 bug reports. So this is all feedback from our users about things that they want, including new features and fixes for old features. Some of the huge ones coming is we have a full new set of indicators up in the panel. We've added a lot of new settings panes and redesigned some old ones. One of the most important new ones is we've added a set of parental controls. And of course, we have our new App Center.
Right. I see. That's a central feature. So what is the Elementary App Center and what does it talk to? What applications can people expect to find there?
Okay. So we are based on a new format that is provided by Debian packages. And we have currently the same content as Ubuntu, mm-hmm. plus some extra stuff from Elementary. So currently our interface is quite simple. We have categories and installed apps with updates.
Yeah. And I've seen the new look and feel for your App Center, and I've seen you show it to a couple of the Ubuntu devs that are here. And every time you've shown that, people said, "Oh, that does look, I like your icons." But not so much icons, but banners that, mm-hmm. that introduce the different sections. It does look really good. And I suppose it's been useful because you've met one of the App Stream developers, right? Whilst we've been here, and you're utilizing the App Stream stuff to present things in the store,
right?
Right. So what else? Because Elementary is well known for being sort of design focused and UX focused. What other features are in there that are going to improve the user experience of Elementary?
The overarching goal is to provide a way for developers who want to target the Elementary platform to easily go from code to distribution. As opposed to, I've got my code, now I've got to figure out how to write my packaging, now I've got to add a PPA, now everyone who wants to create applications has their separate PPA, and then we add them all together, and then pretty shortly thereafter something breaks, and it's just a terrible experience.
Right. So this is a developer story as well as providing Elementary-focused apps to Elementary users. It's improving the developer story as well.
That's right.
Cool. So any other new integrations or changes from the past that people might notice? Or
if you use networking at all in the file manager, you're going to see massive improvements. It's going to be night and day. Not only do we have MTP support for Android phones, we also have significantly improved the overall file sharing support, like especially with Windows sharing.
Right.
And commonly used features like that.
Okay, and I heard some talk about online account integration as well.
Yeah, we use a new system that is almost compatible with the Ubuntu one, and people are going to just enter the credential on the plug, so going to web page or entering directly the password, and then all the apps will be automatically connected to the accounts. So currently, we have support for some mail providers and Last.fm on our Noise application, the music app.
And is that an MPRI interface to hook up those client, you know, the players, the audio players? For audio controls for pause and play and things like that, is there an MPRI integration?
Yeah, in the music player, there is MPRI integration. Okay. And on our whole new indicator, it's supporting the MPRI.
Okay.
And Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft support for online accounts is actively under development, and we expect it soon.
So you think that will land in Loki final?
It will either land in Loki final or a subsequent update.
Right, so by way of updates on that version.
Right. Okay. As soon as it's ready, we want it out there because it's a highly desired feature.
Yeah. You and I sat next to each other. Sorry, I'm talking to Daniel. Daniel and I sat next to each other a couple of days ago, and I was having a peek around at what you've been working on. And one of the features that you seem genuinely proud of is the high DPI support seems to be much improved in this upcoming version. What was involved in delivering that?
Yeah, it's getting much better. I actually ran a small crowdfunding campaign kind of independently as kind of a test of how crowdfunding campaigns might work for us in the future. But the target of it was in order to get a laptop with a high DPI screen so that I could do some of the testing and development, because A lot of the development that we've been doing right now to try to prepare for high DPI has been very theoretical. Mm. And so now that we actually have some hardware that we can test on, then I can look through and see what's missing and what's needs work. So I've been submitting patches here and there to improve some of the issues where icons are either the wrong size or blurry, or there's some kind of quirk that we're doing that makes things misaligned or things like that. So it's almost there. There's some very small things that we still need to do in the window manager in particular. Things like notifications and the multitasking view need to have high DPI supported. But for the most part, all the applications and the desktop itself work pretty well in high DPI.
Things should also improve a lot faster now because it's important to be able to see the bugs instead of just hearing about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So we're obviously all here for the same reason this week. We've been invited here to participate in the community track of the Snappy Sprint. I see two-thirds of the elementary team are proudly sporting their Ubuntu t-shirts today for the listeners. So what have you learned in the last few days about Snaps and Snappy? And have you formed a story around Snappy and how you might use them in elementary in the future?
Earlier I mentioned that when you add multiple package repositories to a system, you inevitably break something. Mm-hmm. And the most attractive feature of Snappy to me is that they're all independent. Every app you install is completely self-contained and can't break another app. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if you have conflicting versions, because to the applications, they see their own system and they're the only thing that exists. So it's important that we figure out a way to solve this problem, and Ubuntu have offered us a way.
Yeah.
And as far as we can see, it's not just hype. It's a great solution.
Yeah, I think that's something I've noticed this week is there's been a lot of talk about Snaps and Snappy, but we've seen and done an awful lot this week. Are you thinking of eventual Snap packet integration with your App Center for, as part of your developer story, for example?
That's right. We haven't made any firm decisions yet, but it would certainly improve the situation if we could separate the base operating system from all the applications.
Yeah.
And not only that, we would bypass the difficulties that come with trying to package your developed application after you've already learned a programming language and you've already learned a build system. You may not have to learn a packaging system, or you may just learn a much simpler.
Yeah. Because Debian packaging, for those that don't know, is hard.
It is a dark art.
Yeah. Is there anything from the Snappy Sprint that's really stood out to you as something surprising or new that you weren't expecting to?
I'm surprised by how simple the snaps themselves are. They're just an installation of the application code once it's been compiled, and then basically they make a zip of it and you run that zip, and you can open it up in the archive manager and you can look at it as if it's a zip or a tarball or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so it's deceptively simple.
It is deceptively so. There's a lot of magic that goes on to make that simplicity happen.
Yes,
but
yes.
Yeah, you're right. And I think you said one of the power features of Snaps was you didn't have to use Snapcraft.
Yeah,
to make
you can
them.
Bypass it completely because I mean it's implemented using fundamentals of the way Linux itself works instead of some needless complication on top of those fundamentals.
Yeah.
That's something that I also find really interesting is that it seems like the more we learn about, the more we learn about the Snap format and the way it's been built, it seems incredibly flexible. And we keep talking about new and interesting ways to kind of exploit the format, I guess, and do things that might be interesting or innovative for elementary OS that we wouldn't be able to necessarily do with another format.
Right.
It will solve a lot of problem on the App Store side, because currently we are using technology that is compatible with all the package formats. And with this kind of format, we could then focus on something that we will be able to target and to be more accurate when we update an app or delete something.
Yeah.
Not only that, the work that's done on what one platform is applicable on all platforms. Yeah. So that if you're any distribution that has Snap available, you can use snaps that were made for another distribution. And depending on the implementation that's still under development, it may be completely seamless.
Yeah. So Loki Beta 2 is out. When's it going to be ready? When can people expect it?
That's always hard to gauge because of the way that our release cycle is structured. A lot of people choose to do time-based releases, and we've instead always chosen to do a release based on work items. So we released beta 2, or I'm sorry, we released beta 1, not necessarily knowing how many work items were left until release because we needed to get the feedback from that point. I think we've seen quite a lot of feedback from beta testers, and I hope that when we released beta 2, we fixed a lot of the main issues that they were having. We're currently about halfway through the milestone that is currently going to be our first release candidate. So as long as we don't hear about any show-stopping issues from our beta testers, I don't want to make any promises and throw any hard timelines on it, but let's just say that we're going fast.
Right, okay. And you showed me that you've got a burn down of the items that you've got remaining, and I won't reveal the numbers, but there weren't that many.
Yeah, if you want to go onto our website, elementary.io, and there's a link for our Get Involved page. And then if you scroll down the page to our desktop development section, you can see our burndown chart, and we have links there to what the work items are on the milestone and also other ways that you can maybe get involved with development and see bugs that we have as part of our bounty program or easy to fix bugs. So.
And I'll just go around. What's each of your favorite features that are landing in Loki?
Oh, man.
Or the one that you're most proud of because you were involved in it or whatever it might be.
We did this on another podcast. And so I'm going to steal the one that everybody else wants to say and go indicators.
Right.
The indicators are so cool. We've done a lot of really good design work, and being able to use GTK Popover there gives us the ability to do really rich layouts. So we've got some really visual, interesting indicators that I think are more useful and informative, and they should be really good.
Great. Cody?
One of the underreported features is that we've changed our browser from one browser to another, and with that we gained not only security improvements, but stability improvements. So you're not going to show Elementary to someone, and then they're going to say, oh, cool, let's get on the web, crash. That should take a little longer to happen now.
I think that's a smart move, actually. I was always mystified with why you were so wedded to Midori. And it's Epiphany, isn't it, that you're
using? That's right.
It's
a slightly modified version of Epiphany.
This is to ensure it adheres to your design language.
That's right. Yeah. Good integration.
Yeah.
And we've applied maybe 30 or so very small patches to it, maybe 3 to 5 lines of code each, and they've made a big difference.
Brilliant.
And my favorite feature is the online accounts that are going to launch. I'm slightly involved on it. It will really make things easier for everyone to enter credential in one place. Because currently it was really a pain to add your emails, to add your calendars, each calendar, to add your contacts. So things are going good.
So a nice tight integration with all of those online services that we're all consumers of now.
Yeah, and we are expecting our third-party developer to take advantage of it.
Right. And how can people find out more about Elementary, and how should they get involved if they're enthusiastic about the project and want to contribute in some way?
On our website, elementary.io, you can always go there and scroll down the homepage, and we have a lot of information on what exactly Elementary is and what it includes. We have a link in the nav bar there to our Get Involved page, and it lists ways to get involved all the way from helping us fund features and fixes and trips like this, to desktop and web development, design, translations, documentation. We have information on all the different places that you can go to get involved there. There's also links to get help. So we have a Stack Exchange page now, and we have a lot of documentation that we've written, and also developer documentation. We have a whole developer section that gives a quick rundown on how to build and distribute currently through PPA an application for Elementary OS.
Great. Well, thank you all very much for taking the time to speak to me, and I wish you every success with the upcoming Loki release.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now it's time for Command Line Love. And this one is, I picked up from OMG Ubuntu. It was posted earlier this week, and it's a piece of Python called Himawari, I think. And what it does is it goes and gets an image from a server and sets that to be your desktop background. And the image comes from a Japanese weather satellite that's in space, and the photo in space, and the satellite is obviously pointing towards Earth, and so to get the best weather report, you'd need to do that, I think. And it takes a photo every 10 minutes, and this script goes and gets whatever the latest image is. So I've put that on my laptop in a cron job, which goes and gets that. So every 10 minutes, I get a new desktop wallpaper, which is a picture of the Earth with various stages of weather and light and dark and, you know, just good spacey picture of Earth.
Is it always of Japan?
Well, it's a Japanese weather satellite. So
Yes,
it's okay. Always pointing at that part of the world. So it's got Australia at the bottom and Japan and the kind of like tip of Asia, Russia, China, that kind of thing at the top, with much of it obscured by whirly white bits. And then in between those land masses, there's big blue bits.
The aforementioned weather.
Yes. And sometimes in the morning, the light, you can see the sun reflecting off of the sea onto the satellite. It looks really pretty. Mm. And I made a little cron job, which gets it every 10 minutes, but it also keeps every single picture. So I have a little collection of these images, which I want to chain together and have like a little animation of the world. Yeah. Which I thought might be quite interesting to do, but cool. I'll have to collect a lot of them for that to work.
Given its geographic orientation, there's a hot tip for Nick and Dan at System AU, and also Graham, who we'll mention a bit later in the show.
Yeah, I think there are other satellites. So, you know, yes, it does point at that part of the world, and I'm only like interested in it because it's a spacey picture of the Earth. But, you know, there are others, and I'm sure you could. And if our listeners know of the other satellites that do this and where you can get those pictures, let us know, because I'd like to have those pictures as well.
Mm.
So thank you to Joey at OMG Ubuntu for that tip.
We love getting your feedback, so please send it to us. Even the pointlessly mean stuff makes us laugh. If it's short, tweet us on @UbuntuPodcast. If it's less short, but please no essays, email us on show@ubuntupodcast.org. If you'd like to discuss some of the things we talk about with other listeners, post on our shiny new subreddit at reddit.com/r/UbuntuPodcast. Or you can just leave a comment on the relevant show notes on our website, ubuntupodcast.org.
And speaking of feedback, it's time for your feedback. And first up, Matt Thyssen emailed show@ubuntupodcast.org.
I have replaced Windows 7 with Ubuntu Mate on my father's HP G60 laptop. Oh, goodness, my palms are sweating. The laptop now runs very hot, and I cannot figure out how to throttle the CPU or any other methods to remedy this. Are there any power options? Am I missing that I'm missing, or any other recommendations you may have? Okay, this is a bit awkward. So my father-in-law had an HP laptop, which ran very hot when it was running Windows. And when I was researching this problem, it was a thing that happens to HP laptops with monotonous regularity, apparently. And I did test a live installation of Ubuntu Mate on his HP laptop, and it made no difference whatsoever. So I'd be interested to know, did Windows 7 run cool and Ubuntu Mate not? So that's my first sort of request, if you could get back to us with that. The second is what you can tweak. Not a lot, really, because Ubuntu Mate comes pre-installed with TLP, which is a under-the-hood power management utility, and it should be managing that stuff for you already. So the only thing I can recommend is you go and have a look at the TLP configuration file in etc/tlp, tlp.conf, I think it is, off the top of my head, and have a play with the power governors in there and see if any of that makes any difference.
It's interesting you should mention that. I was at my mother-in-law's yesterday, and my nephew had an HP laptop running Windows 10 on his lap, and he said, "Hey, Uncle Alan, can you have a look at this?" Because he's a teenager, he speaks like that, obviously.
Kevin the teenager.
Yes, very much. And that was running hot, and the fan was like blaring out, and yeah, it was horrible. So yeah, it does seem to be just a thing with many HP laptops.
Yeah, HP laptops do that, yeah.
Do you have an Ubuntu Mate Stack Exchange site or something we could put a link to in this?
Actually, that's a really good idea. So yes, ubuntu-mate.community is where our forums are. Ask in there, loads of helpful people. You'll definitely get some traction with asking there.
It's also worth maybe spinning up. There's a sensors application, a graphical
P sensor.
That's the one that lets you see in a window like how hot the CPU is and how fast the fans are running and all that kind of like interesting ones and zeros from the sensors on the device. At least then you can see whether it really is hot or
and on Ubuntu Mate and Ubuntu Mate Welcome. In the Getting Started section, you'll find a one-click enabler for pSensor, so you can turn it on and launch it.
Nice.
And next up, Freddie emailed the show.
Having used Linux for 15-ish years, I've built Linux from scratch, but now I realise that Mate is not represented among the desktops of the building Linux from scratch options. I feel this is a gaping hole in the universe and would love to be able to add Mate to BLFS, even if it's only as a skeleton. How should I proceed? This might even give opportunities to mention Mate without direct reference to the flavour that must not be named.
Too late, I'm afraid.
Very much too late. Martin.
Right. We'll have a link in the show notes to a page on the Mate desktop wiki, which shows all of the packages that constitute the Mate desktop in build order. So those are links to the current stable version and the order in which they should be compiled. And then to go along with that, we'll include links to reference packages for Debian and Slackware for the Mate desktop. And hopefully with those, you'll be able to figure out the package requirements in BLFS in order to build Mate there.
Excellent. And Chris Guiver posted on our Google Plus page.
Alan Pope redeemed his prior Star Trek Next Generation Voyager gaffe with A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy tale, especially the rejection of movie. Well done. Thanks very much. Oh, and while we mention Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, for those interested and who have access to BBC iPlayer, they're replaying the original radio play on BBC. Yeah, the first one was it'll be 2 weeks ago when this goes out. So they're playing them, you know, one a week in original order, the original first, Fit the First.
Oh, wow.
Excellent. Yeah,
cool. Worth listening to. Go to the BBC iPlayer for that.
And Graham emailed his essay to the show, which we've edited.
Firstly, thanks for the podcast. I'm originally from sunny Grimsby, but now out here in Japan. I thought I'd drop you a message after the 2016 LinuxCon here in Tokyo, which I was fortunate enough to attend. Probably the highlight was meeting and talking with Mr. Torvalds between keynotes, though not about FOSS, but about diving around Asia, which is apparently a keen interest of his. As somewhat expected, the vast majority of the audience with laptops were running macOS, about 85%, or Windows, with only a few of us with Linux laptops, not many tablets and phones split between Android and iOS. I just wanted to acknowledge that some of us do manage to attend the events you mention all over the place. P.S. The con t-shirt had, in English and Japanese, "This is the year of the Linux desktop." I think that's rather tongue-in-cheek slogan there.
The great thing is you can wear that every year.
it's ageless, isn't it?
Yeah.
Perfect. And that's all of the feedback we've got time for this week.
And that's all for episode 24. We'll be back next week when we'll have more news, comment and discussion.
Excellent. Hooray. So, yes, we got a lot of feedback this week. And, yes, do send us more because we love it, as Laura tells you every week.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we apologise if we don't get to yours.
We do read it all. Yeah,
we do.
We do.
And it does amuse us.
Yes.
When it's supposed to.
See
you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Lots of Ubuntu Mate in that episode. I approve. We should do that more often.
Whatever.
Stop recording.